Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we begin, I want to draw your attention to a description of the days leading up to the second coming of Christ and the conditions that will obtain at that time. So Jesus says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. So there will be celestial signs that portend the coming of the end. And upon the earth, there will be distress of nations. There'll be a lot of panicking with perplexity. The world will see the signs which portend the coming of the Lord, but as always, they will miss the point and they will rationalize. They will be frightened by what seems to be happening to the universe, but they'll get it wrong and they'll say, nothing to see here. Everybody go about your business. And they will miss the point. But you, the faithful, will not miss the point. So there will be distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So we have celestial signs. We have earthly distress. We have the sea and the waves rolling. And it says here, men's hearts failing them for fear. People will simply pass out from fear of what is going on around them and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This, my friends, is what the day of the Lord will look like. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Jesus will not return in secret. He will not quietly slip back into this world take his place among various sects and cults and false teachers. No. When the Lord Jesus returns to judge the quick and the dead, he will appear and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. The glory of the Lord will be manifest in a way that no one will be able to miss. In Bible class this morning, we studied that as the lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus says one more thing down at the bottom of the page in verse 35. He says, for as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So this will be his coming for judgment, and therefore it will happen like the springing of a trap, boom, and no one will be able to escape it. So that is the description of the events leading up to and including the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of sinners, and now the judge of the quick and the dead. So here's the question for us who believe in Jesus. How shall we remain ready for Christ's coming to judge the quick and the dead so that that day will not ensnare us, right? And that day will not be a horror to us. How do we remain? remain ready for the glorious coming of Christ. So the first thing is this, in verse 28, down to verse 33. Jesus says to us, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So here Jesus makes a distinction. It's like with the sheep and the goats. He divides the goats from the sheep. He puts the sheep over here and the goats over here. And then he pronounces sentence on the two of them. All right? And so it is here. Jesus makes a distinction between the world in its unbelief and impenitence and those who trust in Christ. And he says, for us, that day will be a day of redemption. He says, when you see these things begin, look up and lift up your heads. While everyone else is cringing and hiding, you look up and lift up your heads. Why? Because you are waiting for something wonderful to happen. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now, your redemption was purchased and won on the cross, once and for all, by Jesus. He has redeemed us. And that redemption has been applied to us in holy baptism, through the preaching of the gospel, in the sacrament of the altar, and we know that we are among the redeemed of the Lord because we have God's gracious promises that we have received mercy, we have received grace. We are the children of God. But there's something that we are still waiting for, and that is when the redemption that Christ achieved for us once and for all and applied to us, but in a hidden manner, that redemption will be fully revealed, fully disclosed, and fully enjoyed, beginning with the day of judgment itself. So we have this wonderful distinction. While everyone else cringes in fear, the Christians will be able to look up, lift up their heads, for their redemption draweth nigh. Jesus goes on, he says, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you know and see of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So Jesus says, just like when you see the fig tree beginning to bud and to shoot forth its leaves, you know that summer is not far off. So, likewise, when you see these things come to pass, when the signs of the Lord's coming begin to show themselves, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So here we are told that when we see all of these things that everyone else is frightened and confused about, we know what they mean and we look forward to their fulfillment. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So the kingdom that Jesus brought, the kingdom that is hidden under the cross in this world, will then be manifest in all of its glory. We have the kingdom of grace here, and we have the kingdom of glory hereafter. And so the kingdom of God draweth nigh at hand. All right, so Christians can be sure that they will remain ready for the coming of the Lord because they know the signs and they know what the signs mean. And therefore, they will not have... Now, of course, those days will be scary times. But what we're talking about is the fear of despair, versus the fear of just temporal things going wrong. We will not fall into despair, and we will not be overcome with panic, because we will see the signs that God has given us, and we will remain ready for His coming. We will see the signs, we will know what they mean. All right. The second thing, the second reason why we will remain ready for the coming of Christ to judge the living and the dead is that we are and will heed the scriptural admonitions against carnal security. You know what carnal security is? Carnal security is when Christians fall back into the flesh. They backslide. They begin to neglect the things of God. They begin to become casual about things that they should be careful about. And they begin to slip away from things. And before you know it, they live in the world like any old spiritually dead unbeliever. Right? This is carnal security. It's when we begin to take God's grace for granted and we live as if Jesus has not died and risen from the dead and will not come again. And we live as if it doesn't matter one way or another what we do or who we join up with or what we aspire to. This is carnal security, and we here are admonished by the Lord Jesus not to let ourselves slip into laziness and sluggishness, and not to allow ourselves to deceive ourselves into thinking that all is well, when in fact everything is not well, because we have fallen from the Lord by our own neglectful behavior. So here, how do we stay ready? By continuing to heed the warnings and admonitions. First admonition is this, verse 34. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, fancy word, surfeiting. It means a hangover. It's a hangover, right? Surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. All right, so be watchful over yourself. Take care. Pay heed to yourself. When you see yourself slipping into casualness about your faith, when you see yourself slipping into indifference about the things of doctrine, when you see yourself going on to a retrograde instead of moving forward. By the way, as we get older, sometimes what happens as we grow older is we get a little less vociferous. We so-called mellow with age, right? Don't let your faith mellow with age. Don't be somebody on the downgrade, but be those who remain in the faith and strong in the faith and pressing on towards the calling of the hope of God in glory through Christ. You want to be that kind of person. You want in your old age to be progressing and growing and being fervent in the Lord. You don't want to be slowly slipping away until you fade away. You want to go out with a bang, right? Go out with a bang, faithful to the very end. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed lest you, lest at any time your hearts be weighed down. With what? Hangovers, drunkenness, and worry. Worry about the things of this world. You have eternal life. You have the forgiveness of sins. You have the grace of God. You have the solid rock promise of Jesus Christ that the end of the world for you will be a great celebration. Your redemption draweth nigh. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Don't be neglectful, but take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overtaken with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare it will come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let you be one of those people who made a good start but couldn't come to the finish line, right? And really, it's not about you and your works and your progress. It's about the grace of God, which is freely offered to you every time you hear the word, every time you read the word, every time you kneel at the Lord's altar and receive his gracious body and blood for the remission of your sins. You are being ready. Cling to these things and use them. Second thing he says is, watch ye therefore. Watch. Be awake and alert. Why? You've got three things that are dogging you. Number one, you've got the world, that is the unbelieving world, and what the world wants to do is to squeeze you into its mold. The world wants you to go along with its program. But God says that we are not of the world, we are of Christ. And therefore, we do not belong to the world, and we do not dance to the world's tune. All right? And so we have to be awake and alert so that we notice when the world is trying to pressure us into conforming to its standards. Right? Gotta be awake so that we are alert to the world's trickery. Secondly, we've got the machinations of the devil. The devil, he uses temptations, he uses deceptions, and he uses accusations, right? So he tempts you into sin, right? He deceives you into believing lies, contrary to the word of God, and then he accuses you of the sins that he has tempted you into, right? He's an accuser. He tries to undermine your faith in the grace of God. Right? So not only does he tempt you into sin, not only does he pour lies in your direction, but he also then accuses you of all the things you've done wrong. Right? We have to be aware of this and not be naive. Not be naive as Christians. We need to be alert, awake, and aware that not only does the world want us to conform to it, but the devil wants to take us to eternal damnation with himself. And finally, well, one more thing that is chomping at our heels to get us, and that is the old Adam that dwells in each of us. Right? We have a new nature in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Right? Old things are passed away and all things are become new. This is the truth about us in our baptism. But inside of us, the old Adam still lives. And the old Adam, he loves the world. And the old Adam loves to be a sucker for the wiles of the devil. Right? And so we need to be alert and aware, awake to our own flesh as well. And by God's grace, through the word of God, we are enabled to be clear-headed, to be spiritually awake, and to discern when we are being tempted, when we are being lured, when we are being pressured, and when God's grace is comforting our hearts with the sweet goodness of the gospel. Finally, Christians always pray to be accounted worthy, to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, what this means is that we Christians are to pray always. We are to be praying people. One of the continuous subjects of our prayers should be the fact that we are always praying that O Lord, account me worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. What makes you worthy? That you are a better Christian yesterday than you today than you were yesterday? No. What makes you worthy always, always before God is this: Jesus is your forgiveness. Jesus is your righteousness before God. You in Christ, through faith alone, are just before God, accepted before God, righteous in his eyes. When we're praying that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things, we are praying for the Lord to keep us in this gospel faith and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, the parable of the sheep and the goats. Before the Lord Jesus says anything to anybody about anybody's works, he first separates the sheep from the goats, and he puts the goats on his left hand, and he puts the sheep on his right hand. So, in other words, he makes a distinction, and he sets them into two groups. The right hand is the hand of favor and blessing. The left hand is the favor is the hand of disfavor and cursing. All right. So he separates them, and then he says, even before any works are spoken about, he says to the righteous, he says, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then he tells them all the things that they did as servants of the Lord, which were we consider to be good works. And they're like, "When did we do these things?" He says, "Whenever you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, to your fellow Christians, you did it to me." All right? And so what we see is that the righteous, they stand before God and they are judged, but they remain standing because their judgment is based upon the grace of God in Christ and their faith and how their works testify to the reality of their Christian faith. And so it is, that's how we stand before the Son of Man on that day. We don't stand there trying to think up all the good reasons why we should be let into heaven. We stand before the Lord Jesus, and we are already rejoicing in him because he has opened heaven's door for us, and we know that we have life everlasting. And so that is what it means to stand before the Lord. It doesn't mean that we have to kind of work our way into his favor. It means that he is the Savior, the grace of God incarnate, and in him we are saved. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.